Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, and I'm here joined by the only live podcaster to catch Dan Marino's 399th, his 400th, and his 401st touchdown pass. He is OJ McDuffie, and he is prepared for the frigid South Florida weather. Juice, how we feeling?
Hey, Big Seth, you know, I mean, hell, he only had a couple options back then when I played at the end there, bro. So, yeah, I got
you can't control that. You weren't in the roster building business.
And I was the only one that stayed awake during the most of the meetings, you know what I mean?
Well,
so that helped a lot for him to put me to rock all the time, you know what I mean? So he
definitely got to stay awake.
There's a lot of trust there. But you know what? Our meetings were so damn boring, though, bro. I'm telling you, man. I mean, it was like we had route trees, Big Seth. You know the route trees. You know football.
Sure.
What the hell do we get to the NFL level when we're running route trees, bro?
I don't know.
I mean, all you got to do is tell me where I'm lining up and give me my number. And I don't need to stay up for all this other bullshit.
You know but you mean? Did.
I did.
But you did. And it paid off.
Yeah. Good Danny, stuff. Danny looked around a lot. Danny sat up front in the meetings. He looked around a lot to see who wasn't. So
who was awake and who wasn't. And that was it.
I'm your man, Dan. I'm your man.
Good. Well, really good decision making there, both on and off the field. As usual, we are joined by the legendary Savak, the Emmy adjacent producer. We're glad to have him. Chad Van Horn, who is already coming out swinging. He's filed one lawsuit the moment he walked in. We'll discuss the Wiffle Blast a little bit later. And I don't know that there's anybody more newsworthy right now other than the guy that he tried to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is OutKick columnist and Pro Football Hall of Fame selector Armando Salguero. Our good buddy Armando, thank you for joining us.
Yes, Mondo.
I'm sure your phone has been ringing off the hook.
Did he get Shadur into the Pro Bowl too? Is that another thing, or he didn't have anything to do with that?
I don't think Armando's taking any credit for Shadur Sanders. Yeah. Did you see that where people are saying, in what world did we think that Bill Belichick would not be in the Hall of Fame and Shadur Sanders would be in the Pro Bowl?
Well, not just that, guys, but I'm going to take credit for this in the last 24 hours. LeBron James has come out in major, serious, you know, I guess support of Bill Belichick being in the Hall of Fame. And this morning, President Trump came out with major serious support of Belichick being in the Hall of Fame. So I got LeBron and the president together. How about that? Those
two. That's impressive.
Never been on the same page over anything. And here they are in total agreement about Bill Belichick.
Maybe you'll get the Nobel Peace Prize. Maybe.
There it is. And Greenland, too, at the same time.
Right. Absolutely.
And then we'll go on a cruise on the Gulf of America.
We're going to stay away from political talk because I think that could go down the wrong road. But what we have to talk about is what everybody in the sports world, certainly in the National Football League, anybody who is invested in the National Football League, and as you just indicated, it's bled out beyond just our sport. It is the alleged snub that will be forthcoming because we don't really know. There's been no, I guess you all have voted behind closed doors, but NFL honors is when we're supposed to find these things out. So it shouldn't be something that is public, which is part of the conversation I want to have. But it was, reported that Bill Belichick will not be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year, his first year of eligibility, which means he will not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And the only thing better than being a Hall of Famer, I guess, is being a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's something special that comes with that. People thought it was a slam dunk. Armando, when you told me that you had been put on the Blue Ribbon Coaches Committee and that you were actually presenting Belichick, I was like, well, you got the easiest job. And you said, no, I don't know that it's going to be as easy as everyone thinks it's going to be. And it seems like that was a fortuitous, you know, conversation that you had there. Can you can offer something that really nobody else can, because it was your job to present him. It was your I am not putting this on you because I know how hard you work at this.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Seth, we might have to blame Mondo.
I feel like you're putting the blame
like
direct.
Man. That's what it seems like to me. Legally
speaking, I think this is libel. Armando might not. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
That's twice I'm in trouble today.
Long after this podcast is over, if that's all right with you.
We're not even at 9:15 yet, and I've got two lawsuits pending. But Armando, tell us why you felt it was going to be, quite frankly, an uphill battle. And if you could, maybe let us know the things that you anticipated might be things you had to kind of, negotiate against. And you wrote a great column that talked about the things that you said to really, tackle those challenges. And if you can, let us know a little bit about what the temperature was in the room when that conversation came about.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on, guys. Always great to be with you, by the way.
Appreciate you, man.
Likewise.
The way this works is Bill Belichick is obviously was an NFL head coach. So he comes out of what they call the coaches committee. I was put on the coaches committee this year. And, you know, 5 minutes later, I was told, hey, could you present Bill Belichick in the coaches committee?
And I'm going,
why? Why me?
And right.
Apparently the answer was, why not you? Because, you know, we don't have anyone from Boston in the coaches committee and you're it. Okay. So I presented him and I figured that it was going to be a little bit of an uphill battle because I'm not stupid. I understand that Spygate happened, right? I recognize that. And I know that people out there are thinking Deflategate as well. And I know that people out there are saying, well, you know, he didn't win games without Brady. I know all these things, right? So I went into that meeting and after I gave my initial presentation, it was in fact, an uphill battle with the things that I just mentioned. Plus, there's concern by some people that he'd only been out 1 year and that he might come back. And then we would be inducting a 1 year guy who is already in the Hall of Fame, who is now coaching again. So regardless of those obstacles that he faced, he got through the coaches committee and went into the 50-person selection committee. And to be a Hall of Famer, you have to get 80% of the votes in that committee.
And that's a new process, right? Or has the 80% been around? Sorry to cut you off.
That is a new floor.
Okay.
It used to be, I believe, 75. And what it means effectively is that if 11 people don't vote for you, you are not a Hall of Famer. In other words, you need 40 people to vote for you. And if 39 vote for you, you don't get in.
Wow.
And apparently, at least 11 people didn't vote for Bill Belichick. And it was everything that I thought. It was It was a discussion about a bunch of things. And I would say that there's already columns out there by people who didn't vote for him who are talking about, well, I just thought he was a shoo-in, so I didn't bother. What?
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
There's the sentiment of, well, I just rather vote for players over coaches. And I know that Belichick was going to be around, and we had these three players, LC Greenwood and Ken Anderson, and those people that I needed to vote for. Roger Craig was the third. And I needed to vote for them over Bill Belichick. And then, of course, there was Spygate and all these other things going on as well.
You know, Mondo, real quick, Big Seth.
No, take your time.
From reading your article, though, Mondo, you're talking about the guys that really need to put their name on the fact that they didn't vote for him. You know what I mean? I love that. You know, if you're gonna sit there and talk about a guy that, you know, has 8 Super Bowl rings out of 59 total Super Bowls, you know, put your name on the reason and the why, and, you know, on why you didn't vote for him. And I know you mentioned a few of them, but, you know, that's what they said behind closed doors. Put your name on it, like you told him to, Armando, and, you know, and then and come clean about it, man, because everybody, like you talked about, President Trump all the way down over to LeBron James and everybody in between, you know, realize that this guy, honestly, and, you know, look, I hate the Patriots. I despise everybody in AFC still. I still hate the Colts, you know what I mean? But, yeah, but it seemed like a surefire thing, man, even with, you know, some of the things that have gone on. But, you know, it's like it's kind of crazy to me that people wouldn't put their name on it saying some of the things that you're telling us now that they said behind closed doors. They need to man up, right?
Well, so this has clearly been the biggest controversy that the Hall of Fame has waded into in, I would say, I don't know about history, but definitely in the 14 years that I've been on it. And it's like you're making a lot of people look bad because I would say to you that the majority of the country, let's just put it out there, that cares one way or the other, thinks it's ludicrous that Bill Belichick isn't going to be a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
The guy has won 6 Lombardi trophies, which is more Lombardi trophies than Lombardi. Okay?
Yes.
He's got more Lombardi trophies than the guy the trophy is named for. And that's just as a head coach, because like you mentioned, Juice, he's got 2 as a defensive coordinator for the Giants. So there's that. So when you don't reward that kind of achievement with a Hall of Fame vote, I think you should explain it.
And right.
Some people already are. Some people are not. And it's weird because those that do not and have not, they are affecting everybody else, the majority of which I think did vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And gosh, there's so many layers to that. I agree with you in terms of explaining it. I think to say, well, I thought he was a shoe-in, to me is the biggest cop-out. Like, I cannot fathom that if your responsibility is to take this list of people and select the most worthy, that you don't pick someone that you think is so obviously a Hall of Famer because he's going to get in anyway, particularly with the way the rules have changed recently in your selection process. But I also don't believe it. I feel I would rather someone say, yeah, I didn't vote for him in year one because of Spygate. And we can disagree with you, but like, what other reason is there? Chad, I saw you put it in there, but I've heard a lot of people say it. Well, he never won a Super Bowl without the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. We had the guy for 20 years, and you know, Tom, I think that that's a cop-out as much as I think it is to say that Mark Clayton shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame or Richmond Webb shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because Dan Marino was a quarterback and anybody could have caught those. But I mean, like, the coach's job is to coach the entire team. That defense with, I guess, Ty Law, will anybody else from that Patriots defense make it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame? You know, and consistently their defense played at a high level. I just have a hard time understanding. And it's weird for us to sit here on a Dolphins show and argue for Bill Belichick, because I don't know that any of us like the guy. But you don't have to like someone to believe that they belong in the Hall of Fame. Now, I know, Armando, you're not going to talk about who took what position in the room. But I find it interesting that a lot came out about Bill Polian. There was a lot of conversation about Bill Polian and what he argued for, what he argued against. He has since said, I did vote for him. Well, I'm not sure if I voted for him. And so he's now caught in this conundrum. Is there a larger issue that the Hall has to be concerned about, that these conversations are being had even before the vote should be revealed? Like, that's supposed to happen in secrecy, isn't it?
100%. And as you know, the Hall of Fame has put out a statement tonight saying that people who violate the selection process be expunged from the selection process. And that's the selectors. So yeah, if you're leaking, you're lacking. Something is wrong with you. I didn't find out until yesterday.
Right.
You know, and 5 minutes later, ESPN has his full story up saying he didn't make it. And that was their story. And now there are other leaks about Eli Manning and so forth. And that has been happening over the years. And that's not good news. Let me mention the Brady thing, if I can, because I just want to clear the record. And I said this in the meeting, and I'll say it here. So almost 100% of Hall of Fame coaches and players had help. And if in the Hall of Fame, they had Hall of Fame help. Vince Lombardi had Bart Starr, who is in the Hall of Fame. And he had 10 other Hall of Famers on his team.
Yeah.
Chuck Knoll won 4 Super Bowls with Terry Bradshaw, who's in the Hall of Fame. And he had 11 other Hall of Famers who were on this team. So the idea that, well, Bill Belichick only won with Tom Brady, well, that's when he had a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, he won with the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And by the way, somebody drafted Tom Brady, and somebody developed Tom Brady, and somebody kept Tom Brady in the lineup when Drew Bledsoe was ready to play again and won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady in his second year, despite Drew Bledsoe at a $100 million contract and the most expensive player in the NFL on the bench. Somebody made that decision. And I would say that's why Bill Belichick is in part a Hall of Famer and overcoming that whole Brady thing.
Mm. Seth, real quick, I just want to clarify a point. For the voters that said they were going to vote for somebody else because they thought Belichick was going to get in, I mean, are you limited as far as voting, or how does that specifically work? because I think that's important, because I can get it that if I want to get somebody else in and he's a shoo-in, I might want to put my vote to somebody that might be on the fringe. And I don't understand that as a layman.
Yeah, so relative to the coach, contributor, and senior player, there was five candidates. You're only allowed to vote for three. And three of them were players. One of them was a contributor, Robert Kraft. And obviously Bill Belichick was the coach. And if you're a voter and you are of the mind that I'm always going to defer to the players because the players make the game,
yeah,
so forth and so on, there could have been people that said, Roger Craig, Hall of Fame, Ken Anderson, Hall of Fame, and Elsie Greenwood, Hall of Fame. And I'm sorry, Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, you didn't get my vote.
Yeah, so we don't know about Robert Kraft yet, do we, Armando, or do we know about Kraft? And if that's the case, yeah, if that's the case, maybe both of them, they didn't want to do New England in the situation either. So sometimes you just don't, you know, it's like trying to get two players from the Dolphins in the same year. I mean, you rarely see two guys from the same organization go in the same time. So could that have played a role? But if that's the case, I would think you'd have to go Bill Belichick before you go Robert Kraft, though, right?
And it wasn't just New England. It was New England, because Adam Vinatieri was in there as well in the modern era players. So maybe somebody just decided, I'm sick of New England.
Well, a lot of us are sick of New England.
I lived two decades of New England dynasty, and I'm not doing this, which is, by the way, not the way it's supposed to work.
Right. Well, no, I'm still get it all over with, though. Just get it over with. You know, get them all out of there and move on from it, right?
No,
it's going to be year after year after year, right?
Juice, chill out, because they're in the Super Bowl right now. We're still sick of them, all right? Like, we are still sick of them.
Yeah, fair point. But also, like, the reason they're sick of them is because they were a dynasty. The reason they were a dynasty, do you know how hard it is to sit at the top of an organization and have success for that long? And how hard it is. Yeah, sure, Tom Brady. I mean, great. Who wouldn't want to have that guy on their team? And you address that to some extent. But what about all of the other decisions that you have to make? What about thinking that this little receiver that the Miami Dolphins have that kicked a field goal and covered a kick and caught 50 passes for the Miami Dolphins could catch 110 a year if I put him in my system? What about drafting Julian Edelman as a quarterback and saying, this guy's going to be a badass returning punts and return? What about having Troy Brown and saying, boy, you know, he would really help us in the defensive secondary? Like, all of those decisions that are made over and over and over again, and how sick are Dolphins fans of seeing him take what basically scraps from our organization and then winning with guys like that? Rob Ninkovich, like, how many teams did he get cut for? And so it's just on and on. And it's so weird for me to sit here and sing the guy's praises, but it is what it is. You know, it seems to me that the idea that he had to serve this penance is what it's about. And to me, I feel that's petty. I also don't think it's the role of the Hall of Fame selection committee to levy fines or levy penalties. But, you know, it seems to be that that's the position that was taken, at least in my opinion.
Well, you know, I mean, but there's been others too, though, right, that have paid penance, you know, that probably could have or should have been first ballot Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? You look at, I mean, hell, there's some guys out there. Nobody liked T.O., but shouldn't he have been a first ballot guy? I mean, there are a bunch of, I mean, I know it's a different committee and everything that goes on, but I'm saying, like, a lot of guys, if somehow look at other sports. I mean, Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer before he took steroids. You know what I mean? And now he's still paying for it, you know? So, I mean, I get it, man. It's like, and my whole thing is what I was thinking earlier today was, what would Don Shula think? You know what I mean? What would Coach Don Shula think? Who called him Belichick, you know? And Don Shula's probably cracking the hell up right now, you know? But, you know, and I'm with Coach Don. I'm with Coach Shula, you know what I mean? So it's like, people only, I mean, they think about the guys that got it done the right way. And of course, we also heard Jimmy Johnson talk about, well, we tried it too. Of course, you're cheating ass tried it. Jimmy, piece of whatever. Anyhow, you know what I mean? Whatever. Of course, you tried it. It didn't work for us. I don't remember getting any advanced knowledge of anything. So he must have kept it to himself or gave it to his defense, whatever it might be.
Wait, Juice, did you play for him or do you have a relationship with him? Like, I haven't heard this before.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson? Yeah.
Chad, don't poke the bear, man. Come on, Chad. Yeah. Don't poke the bear.
That's my guy, Chad. That's
so the last, and I know you got to get moving, Armando, but the last, I guess, Brady-related question is, if the reason people believe that Bill Belichick has to wait or serve this penance or he shouldn't be a first ballot guy is because of Spygate, is because he's a cheater, what does that mean for the people, the players who benefited from said cheating, or the quarterback who not only benefited from said cheating, but also was penalized for his own scandal and Deflategate? Like, what does it mean for them? Should they have to follow that same unwritten rule?
Well, they shouldn't have followed that unwritten rule to begin with, I don't think.
I agree with you.
It's the position of a Hall of Fame voter to second guess or to play holier than thou judge over imperfect people. We have imperfect people in the Hall of Fame. Breaking news.
Yeah,
right.
There is a double murderer in the Hall of Fame. There are folks that
not convicted, Armando. Don't talk about OJ like that.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Are we taking that position in the podcast? I don't know if I can be part of this podcast anymore.
Lawrence Taylor snorted cocaine while playing in the Hall of Fame. All right. And by the way, there were people who were involved in murder investigations who were fined by the NFL for violating the personal conduct policy who were first ballot Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. And the NFL came down on Bill Belichick. He did it. He paid a $500,000 fine. And beyond that, the New England Patriots lost a draft pick. So if someone did indeed decide, well, the NFL took its, slice, I'm going to take another one. That's not really what the spirit of being a selector is about. That you're trying to judge achievements, not dole out punishment.
Fair enough. There it is. Okay. There's a really cool question here. So Mike Olivia just dropped in. Yeah. Without saying a player's name, has Armando ever second-guessed himself for not voting for a guy or wished he had a do-over a few days after the vote and a couple weeks after the vote? And then we will let you get out of here.
Have I ever second-guessed myself?
No, let's not let him go either. We're having fun, Sapley. Let's not let him go.
15 minutes, Chad, and we're at 30.
No. He's got another 30 left in him. He's going to make it to the legal zone.
Legally speaking... No, I don't remember second guessing myself.
It's not your style.
I second guess myself plenty in my career.
Yeah.
Things that I wrote, but not Hall of Fame votes that I took.
Awesome stuff. Appreciate you making the time.
What second guesses did you make in your career?
We'll do that the next time. Yeah, we'll do that the next time. We've already taken up too much of your time. And the way you're dressed, I think there's a line of people waiting to come in and kiss the ring. We're loving the tracksuit. And keep up the great work, Armando. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Armando, man. Appreciate you, bro.
All right.
Hey, nice to meet you, man.
Bless you all.
Even the way he says goodbye, like he is.
I think there's a pinky ring on there too. Yeah. All right, Mondo.
That's awesome.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, completely unrelated story, real quick. When I passed my bar exam, Ray Lewis was at the bar and he signed an autograph for me. That's completely unrelated.
What was he doing there?
Oh, he's at the bar with you.
No, no, he was at Bover Prime. Remember the big scam artist in Fort Lauderdale?
Scott Rostin.
Scott Rostin.
Yeah.
I remember him well. Oh,
yeah. So he was, yeah, so Ray Lewis was meeting with him, but I passed the bar and was there. And just what Armando was saying reminded me of Ray Lewis for some reason. I don't know why. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
I mean, that's all interesting conversations, Big Seth. And, you know, the whole Hall of Fame thing is, you know, it sucks that, you know, to be on that committee is incredible as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that you hear when you hear something about Bill Belichick, you kind of realize what other guys that we know and love don't get the opportunity to, because there are
right.
so many different criteria that are not should not be part of the reason you're letting somebody in or electing somebody into the Hall of Fame. Man,
how do you get on the committee? Do you guys know?
Yeah, so I know that there has to be a certain amount of years in covering the league. They do have a minimum of one selector from each NFL market, and then they have what they call at-large selectors, which are, you know, maybe someone writes for a national outlet. And I mean, you'll see it. It's some of the biggest names that you follow. Like a Dan Pompey, I think, is like considered an at-large. So, yeah, just people, years of covering the league or commitment to the league or the profession, things of that nature. And then I think like James Lofton, I'm trying to think if there's another player. I believe Tony Dungy might be on the committee. Bill Polian on the committee, right? So, I mean, he's a selector. It's an interesting process. But then
you get assigned like coaches committee, and there's different committees within.
They have those subcommittees, those blue ribbon subcommittees. So one is the seniors committee, and I think there's like seven people on it. Armando just got put on the coaches committee, and I was really hoping that he would have been put on the seniors committee, because, you know, I wanted him to advocate for Mark Clayton. And quite frankly, and I hope next year is his year, but they've made it tougher and tougher. And so if Richmond ends up, which would be a tragedy, but if he does end up, you know, in the seniors committee, you know, you would want to have some kind of an advocate there as well. So it's an interesting dynamic, and it's been fascinating, Juice, for me to learn all about it. And I know more about it the year that JT went in. I learned more about it than I had ever possibly could have imagined, but it is changing. There was a change in, when David Baker stepped down, they've changed some rules. And that statement they put out today that was pretty harsh, that it'll be really interesting. Yep, Alex Marvez is an at-large voter. Jason Cole is an at-large voter. Right. So there's a few guys that covered the Miami Dolphins that all have a vote. But cool stuff. So I want to shift back to the Miami Dolphins. And it seems like a forever ago, but it was just last week that, even though we already knew that John Eric Sullivan was the new general manager, we hadn't really heard from him. We listened more to Green Bay interviews than we did Dolphins until he sat down with Travis. Of course, we hadn't heard anything from new head coach Jeff Hafley. We got to hear from both of them. We did hear from Stephen Ross, not his best performance, but we heard from Stephen Ross. We did hear from the new general manager. We heard from the new head coach. And then Hafley's kind of been on the media tour recently. Juice, you were pretty fired up after it.
Yeah, man. You know, when you look at, first of all, you look at guys and you see them walk into the building and you kind of like, okay, all these people talking about the Beavis and Butthead thing and how they look alike and things like that. Man, grow the fuck up, bottom line. But at the same time, though, these guys look like tough football guys, Big Seth. I want tough football guys.
What you've been asking for.
That's what I've been clamoring for, bro. Like, give me some guys that know ball. We know anybody come from Green Bay, they know ball. They know how to, for one, with Coach Half playing defense, and for sure with JES, his ass, being a part of who they've been bringing in as, draft picks and free agents and things like that in the personnel department. They've been doing it the right way for a long time, man. And so to hear them talk, you and I, of course, chat about stuff all the time. We probably text like little girls like three or four times a day. You know what I mean? But just to hear them talk, some of the things that you talked about, the things they're talking about, draft, develop, retain, Those things are important. You clamor that all the time, getting a quarterback every single year or every other year like they were talking about. Those are always important things. We just talked about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Hell, they took Tom Brady at 199. They didn't know what Tom Brady's going to be Tom Brady.
Right.
You know? But they took a shot at it. And look, you know, Drew Bledsoe gets hurt, and then Tom Brady becomes Tom Brady. There are guys out there with that type of talent. Brock Purdy. Look at some of the guys. So I'm all for going out and getting the guy every year, every other year, and seeing what the hell they are, because you just never know. Some guys, you talked about Wes Welker. Wes Welker was good for us, but he became great for New England and Denver,
mm-hmm.
you know? And sometimes you just got to be in the right place, the right system, and things like that. So
yeah.
Everything that we talk about, Big Seth, you know, on our sidebars, that's for you, Chad, sidebar, you know, attorney talk.
Bro. Leave the legal zone to me. I have 7 minutes. Like, you got the rest of the show. All right.
I'll leave it there, bro. I'll leave it there. You know, a lot of times these guys, though, man, they just need to get in the right situation to be successful. You know, I go back to the thing about, like, a guy like Vince Young. You know, Vince Young was so dynamic at Texas. But then you go to Tennessee, and then you're for one, you're such a high pick, you're going to a shit team. But two, they got him under center. They've got him doing things that he didn't even do at Texas that made him so successful, you know? So you got to be in the right place, and you got to be in the right system when it comes to the NFL and in most sports in general. And I think that the guys that we're talking about, these guys are going to do it the right way, Seth. Back to what we're talking about with JAS and Coach Half, you know, they're going to build the trenches up. They're going to draft, develop, and retain. You know, they're going to go after quarterbacks. And my whole thing with those guys is, man, we're going to have to give them time. We gave Mike time. You know, we gave Tua time. We give all these guys. So you got to give guys time now. When you start doing things like this, don't expect miracles like you got from Lee and Combe, you know, up in Jacksonville, or Ben Johnson over in Chicago. Those things, they did something special. But don't expect that shit to happen just because you go out and get a new group of guys and then put all that pressure on those guys to go out there and beat out those guys in year one.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Like, that would be great, but should that be the bar? Like, if that's the expectation, especially taking over a team where you think things were broken, you know, so that's a fair point there. What do you think about some of the decisions? There haven't been a ton, but Halfley's now starting to fill out his staff. And the biggest one would be the offensive coordinator, right? So Bobby Slowick was here. He was brought in to be like the 17th coordinator on the Mike McDaniel staff. And then he kept him, you know? So what do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about, you know, a feel for them. And I think when you look at the offense coordinator, it kind of tells the direction they're going with players. You know, what kind of system are they running? What kind of guys that fit that system? You know, of course, with Mike McDaniel, we had all the, you know, kind of smaller linemen, but they were all very, very athletic. You know, who knows now with Slowick if there's going to be a beefier line, you know, that Achane can hide behind, you know, that Ollie can run behind, that Wright can, you know, get in behind and get his tough yards. You know, so we just got to know about system and how they're going to run things that way. So, I mean, everything for us and all the fans that, you know, I've seen, and I, you know, I don't like to talk too much trash about our fans sometimes, but, oh, 1 year they're done, 2 years they're done. How do you know? How does anybody know what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Just sit in there and see what happens, man. See what happens in the draft first. Actually, see what happens in free agency first, and then see what happens in the draft, you know, and see what direction we're headed in, and then start making some decisions on where we think this team is going, man. So every single year, we've had 18 million coaches since Don Shula, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, we just got to sit back and wait. I even gave Cam Cameron a shot for a day. You know what I mean? But that's, you know, that's all he got. That's all he deserved.
I was done with him in training camp.
You know what I mean? That's it.
Juice, I don't think you heard this, but you made national ESPN, I think it was this morning or yesterday. They were talking about New England has been to 10 Super Bowls since the Dolphins won the last game.
Yeah.
And they said that you caught the last touchdown in a playoff game. I don't know if that's true, but you caught the last touchdown in a playoff game that the Dolphins won. They brought up your name. I think it was unsportsmanlike on ESPN.
Well, it's true until somebody proves it's wrong, Big Seth. And stop Googling, Big Seth.
I'm looking it up right now.
You're looking it up right now.
It's on tonight. Until you look it up at 10:30, bro.
But Juice, I'm saying that the four of us should be on Sportsmanlike tomorrow to just talk about this. But yeah, you caught a stray, but in a good way, I guess. But not for the Dolphins.
I had a touchdown that game, but I know I had a couple catches, man. I had a few blocks.
We'll
set the record straight. I didn't have a touchdown that game, but
Jed Weaver caught the last touchdown.
How about that?
Weaver
got it.
He sounds very big and white.
Indeed,
you would be correct. He's a great dude. Well, most of the time. So, man. So anyhow, it's been a long time, and I say this all the time. My kids have struggled being Dolphins. You know what I mean, Big Seth. I mean, my oldest is 23. It was the last one. It was 01, right? 01, the last
Chiefs day.
1-1, and my youngest is 17. So, you know, they still got to rock the aqua and orange, but it hasn't been easy for them.
If they want pop support, they got to do that. So, didn't catch a touchdown pass, but Mike Olivia is reminding us OJ had a big fourth quarter in that playoff win over Indy, including a huge one-handed catch.
That one-hander. That's when I could only cut off a 1 foot.
So I'm gonna say one-handed and 1 foot.
1 foot. If I had 2 feet, I might have been able to get there with two hands.
Get the second hand on it.
Yeah, is that the original OBJ catch? Was that it? There's no video from. There's no video from back then, or it was black and white, probably.
It doesn't matter. Real to real, doesn't matter what it is. Chad.
I think the original OBJ catch was the Rondae Gadsden against the Raiders. That to me was the original OBJ catch.
OG. Rondae's? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Against the Raiders.
For sure.
That was nasty. Nasty work. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens. Obviously, in this space, I was adamant that I wanted Chris Shula for all the reasons we discussed, but that's not the way they went. So, Halfley's our coach now, and got a root for him. He's certainly – I can understand why people were impressed with him after hearing him talk. You know, he said all of the right things. There's clearly a passion in his voice. And I want this will be a segue. This is not to take a shot at Mike McDaniel, but his style and delivery, as bright as he is, of the way he would deliver messaging, it was so convoluted. And this is very direct, but still well thought out. I mean, I get why. I get why he was impressive. Yeah. And, I love that John Eric Sullivan turned to Dan Marino and Troy Aikman after each interview and said, would you play for this guy?
That's the big point. That's the big point right there, man. And when you've got both of those guys saying basically hell yeah to Coach Jeff Halfley, I mean, that's all you're asking for. You got two dogs in the game right there and that's what you want to have, and it tells you that they got an old school vibe from him. You know what I mean, Big Seth?
Yeah.
Like, they got an old school coach's vibe from him where he's going to kick somebody in the butt. He's going to lift them up. He's going to be that guy that's going to put him in the best position to win. And I think that's important, man. And we talked about Troy Aikman being part of any selection committee when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. I love the outside voice and the outside ears, But then when you ask him those questions about would you want to play for this guy, and they both, from what I understand, resoundingly said yes, that tells me we got the right guy. Now, they're probably asking about all the coaches there. So now how they responded, they might say yes to some other coaches, but how confidently yes was it when it came to Half that made him the right guy? Everybody talks a lot about Mr. Stephen Ross, and all Mr. Stephen Ross does, really honestly, and we were joking earlier, he just writes checks, man. You know what I mean? He's really a guy that tries to go out there and get the best guy, pays the most money for it, does whatever he has to do. But when you bounce your things off of guys like Troy Aikman and Dan Marino, they're in the room with you. I mean, that right there, I mean, they know ball. And so if they're asking somebody about ball, they ask those two guys. And I think those guys are the ones that probably help, make those decisions for him, for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you, Juice. And I love that was the question that was asked. Like, understand how to utilize your personnel. And John Eric Sullivan needed that. And that was, one of my – I tried to tell y'all, imagine not having football people in the room to ask those questions of. Right. So that that to me was significant, and I do appreciate that that was the process. What'll happen, we'll find out. So I mentioned Mike McDaniel, and he went on the world tour, got his frequent flyer miles, did a lot of interviews. Then he started to turn down jobs, which I wonder some of these – I think everybody turned down Cleveland because it was the Cleveland Browns, and there seemed to be a mess. But people – I feel like some of these people are turning down jobs – because agents are getting wind that they're not going to get them and you'd rather turn them down, right? You know, break up with her before she breaks up with you, right? That kind of a deal. So I think some of that was that. But long and
short, which is total BS, by the way, for guys to do that, man. Take your lumps, bro.
That's
it. You know what I mean? Take your lumps. You know, don't be – I love Mike, man, but that's some bitch shit.
Yeah, well, whatever the reason is, but he does accept – the job of offensive coordinator with the San Diego Chargers. And not only do I think the odd couple pairing of Mike McDaniel and Jim Harbaugh is something that they could make reality television out of, and they just might, the way they seem to have fallen in love with Mike McDaniel. Have you ever heard of a coordinator being hired and they're doing a 42-minute welcome press conference? And like, I'm watching these clips. And look, we are clearly familiar with Mike McDaniel. We just saw it for 4 years. But I guess with the weight of the world off his shoulders now, he can go back to being the guy who presses the funny button in the interviews and what have you. It looked like a Saturday Night Live skit. Half of the things that he did, it didn't even look like it was real. I almost had to watch him over and over again to see, was this AI, those AI things that you see? Like, it just is mind-blowing to me. And I'm wondering what you guys think about the friggin' touring comedy show now that the Chargers social media team seems to have fallen in love with.
Yeah, we loved their social media team before this, Big Seth. Right? I mean, they were edgy from the beginning. It's crazy that with Harbaugh at the helm that they were able to do something like that. And Seth, we can go back to, you know, when you and I and Travis are doing post game shows, and we were able to go to the bathroom. We were able to go get food. We were able to do everything, you know, when Mike's press conference came on because it was going to be so freaking long.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
Because that was my
Mark Consigliere had to sit there and take all these notes. Seth went through 10 pages of paper just to write down everything that Mike had to say. So I kind of get why that happened where, you know, you got this long press conference. But Mike, obviously, getting head coaching opportunities was a high commodity for a lot of teams.
Yeah,
and of course, we all know what an incredible offensive mind he is. And so the fact that, you know, that's the hire that they had. And think about this, though. We played against the Chargers a few times while Mike was the head man for us.
Yeah.
Right. And so for them to basically target Mike McDaniel as their OC tells you that on the defensive side, they were talking about how hellish it was.
It's a great point.
To be able to make a, you know, to do something. You know, to stop what we were doing offensively. And then you gift him Justin Herbert, you know, with a lot more skill set than what we have down here at quarterback.
Yep.
And
yep.
They can only imagine what Mike can pull out of Justin Herbert. So I get that they wanted to give him that spotlight. I think you also give him that spotlight. It's not like he's coming there as a former, like another OC or a wide receivers coach or a tight ends coach that's coming and interviewing for an offensive coordinator job. He's coming as a guy that's been a 4-year head coach that probably deserves a little bit more time and love than I think most other guys that come in.
42 minutes to the Dolphins.
Mike, come on, man. Mike just getting started is 30 minutes. So, I mean, it's 42 minutes.
So the Dolphins press conference with Halfley, with John Eric Sullivan, with them doing their monologues, with Stephen Ross fumbling through his, with all of that was like 58 minutes.
All new guys.
Yeah, but first of all, like Mike McDaniel's lexicon. I mean, it's just when you figure out the words that he's speaking, like you gotta have like Google Translate on because
I had to look up a bunch of words. Right?
Right.
I'm like, what was that word? That's way bigger than mayonnaise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it takes a second.
He was a history major, not a grammar major, though. He needs to understand that he doesn't take things serious. He takes them seriously. But that's a whole other conversation. A whole other conversation. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Mike McDaniel. I will say this. I think he's got the best chance to be successful when all he has to do is call offensive plays. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. And to your point, Juice, he's given a quarterback that physically can do anything that he's going to ask him to do, right, which he did not have that here. I know that for a long time, Dolphin fans, we love to compare Herbert and Tua and say, oh, well, Herbert never won anything, and Herbert, and I get all that, and he still needs to, and boy, was he bad in the playoffs this year. But right, physically, anything that Mike McDaniel draws up, Herbert will be able to execute.
It's going to be a different playbook. You know, yeah, it's going to be a different playbook because, you know, our whole offense here was based off of Tua's anticipation.
Yep.
You know, throwing the ball way early, whereas you got a guy in Justin Herbert that can probably sit in there a little bit longer. He's got that cannon of an arm. You probably see some quarterback runs that we would never incorporate down here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to see some rollouts and some the Elway throwing away over the other
quarterback
way.
Sneak. So who can run a quarterback sneak in
Miami? So many things that Mike is going to be able to dial up and put in his bag, man. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with him. And, you know, I hope, you know, I mean, it's he's going to be successful in his league, bro, because he's that intelligent as an offensive mind, for sure.
Juice, do you think he'll – and I know this is a big problem you have. You think he'll have all the packages that, like, everybody's subbing out every play and all of that, or you think that's going to calm down a little bit in the Chargers' offense?
That's a great question, but that's all going to come down to Harbaugh.
You know, right, Harbaugh, it's going to be to the
extent. Jim's like, nah, man, keep these dudes in there. Stop bringing these dudes in and out. Jim's going to control a lot of what we don't, you know, what we weren't able to control here because Mike allowed that. But, you know, Harbaugh's going to be mad at dudes that are taking themselves out of football games. You know, get your ass third down. Third down. We've had third downs in 10 where our two top receivers went in the game.
Yeah, like,
who the hell does that?
The Miami, you know,
Dolphins did. Miami that Dolphins. Thing ain't gonna happen no more around here.
Yeah, you get this one. Come get me. So, all right, we're gonna move into the. I tried to tell y'all. I have noticed this phenomenon. You know, we moved from a 7 o'clock start to a 9 o'clock start because we had to once, and then people seem to like it more. We had greater viewership here, and it's 9:45, and all of a sudden our numbers are climbing. If you're just joining the show, can you drop in the chat like, did you just find us that you were here? Is there another show that you're watching earlier? I'm just curious as to how you're just finding us at 9:45 because we ain't. Yeah,
we'll go to 10 o'clock. We'll start at 10 o'clock. We have to, Big Seth.
You know how to find someone else.
You about to do it remotely.
Remember when there was like a fish tank show going on and we had all those people coming into it randomly?
Hashtag live. Right. Oh my God. I have not used that hashtag.
You were like, wait a minute. I was looking to see who's this guy. Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to do, I try to tell y'all, then we're going to have the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone, which without Chris Perkins may just not be the same. If you have your legal questions for Chad Van Horn, you can start dropping them in the chat now or just start thinking about things that you're dealing with. I don't have an I tried to tell you all today. I feel like I've told you everything I've tried to tell you. Juice, I know you've got one. Savox got one. Chad, if you want to jump in the party, you got it. Juice, kick us off as you always do.
All right, here we go, y'all. I tried to tell y'all for years that this one man poured every ounce of himself into lifting up everybody else, his family, his friends, his community, anybody who needed a hand, a word, or a shoulder, and that includes me. He carried burdens that weren't even his, made sacrifices nobody asked him to make, and never once complained about the weight. He was the rock, the provider, the one who showed up when nobody else would. And now, Big Seth, he'll be holding his own baby girl for the first time. Staring into those tiny eyes that are already looking back at him like he is the only person in the world. Like Seth has experienced, like I have experienced, all those years of giving, all the strength all the strength he built, taking care of the world, it was preparation for this exact moment. Now the responsibility is his in the purest, most beautiful way possible. Not out of obligation, but out of love so deep it redefines him. He's stepping into fatherhood with the same heart he's always had, only this time it's his own flesh and blood, his little princess who's going to grow up knowing what real love and real strength look like because she's got the best example walking this earth. He's ready. He's born ready. I'm talking about our guy, Chad Van Horn. For those that don't know, I can't wait to meet my niece. I love you, bro. I tried to tell y'all.
Wow. I love you, bro.
Wow. That was unexpected. Thank you, Juice. Godfather adjacent. You might be the godfather. Right. If my guy doesn't show up, you step up, man. Thank you. Then that was more than kind. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Man, an emotional, I tried to tell y'all for a couple years. But yeah, congratulations forthcoming for Chad Van Horn. I know it's exciting, man. So I just texted somebody else who just had their first child. His wife just gave birth yesterday morning. Wow. And there's no greater blessing, and there's no greater response.
I mean, local Big Seth, because I got a photographer for him.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. I got to let him know. I definitely got to let him know. Very cool. Some cool questions coming in. We'll get to those in a moment with the Van Horn Law Group. LegalZone, Savak, what did you try to do?
Should I even, like, how the hell do I even follow that?
Yeah, Jimmy, that should have been one you should have pulled the vet move in camp and let the young bucks go. Yeah, yeah.
But I'll try my best. I'll try my best. You know, first of all, I want to preface this by saying, you remember a couple weeks back when we were talking about Kevin Stefanski, and I had mentioned that the Cleveland Browns were more dysfunctional than Miami, and you pushed back on that a little bit, Seth?
Sure, sure. Well,
Exhibit A, their coaching search that has resulted in them hiring Todd Monken. Not that there's anything wrong with him, but did you see that mess?
It is a mess. Right. And it's a mess.
They have a Pro Bowl quarterback. They have a Pro Bowl quarterback.
That's a great point. That helps my argument with Stefanski for sure, or against Stefanski. But you know, you were hearing all the stuff that their loyalty to Schwartz was keeping them, you know, a lot of coaches were turning down the job because of that. And yeah, then they pass him over and he picks up his shit and he walks out.
Exactly. See, and the funniest part that hit home for me was Mike McDaniel. Then he was 24 hours out from his second interview with them, calls them up, says, "No, thanks, guys. I'm going to L.A.
Well, the personality test that they were making guys fill out, I think that was the one that might have been the last straw. But I will say this, and this is your I try to tell y'all moment. No matter how dysfunctional Cleveland is, that doesn't make Stefanski a better coach. So we'll find out when he gets to Atlanta who's right and who's wrong.
Fair enough. Right.
You're up.
Anyway, right. I tried to tell y'all. In fact, I've been trying to tell y'all for a long time that we should have been drafting quarterbacks all along. So as previously mentioned earlier, I'm glad somebody brought it up. Thank you, Juice. They were talking about that. Sully has mentioned that he wants to invest heavily in the position, and I am here for it. That I am all about that idea. I have been feeling strongly about that since before the Tannehill era, during which I was very vocal about my concerns that they didn't want to bring in any legitimate competition for him. Why not? Because I figure that can go one of two ways. Best case scenario, you light a fire under that alleged franchise quarterback. Get better play out of him. Worst case scenario, you find out really quick that he's not the guy. And that's, yeah. Man,
yeah,
yeah. Overwhelmed with emotion. This is almost more emotional.
I know.
Than Duke's tribute to Chad.
But I think about it. Look back at the Tannehill era. How did we get into years 3, 4, 5, and we're still looking around like, so is he the guy? Do we think it's him? I mean, think about it, Seth, Juice. How many times have you guys heard that story in the tank? From the first throw of the first practice, everybody knew Dan Marino. That's our guy.
Yeah.
Even yep. Shula was like, oh.
That's different.
But we didn't have that with Tanny. We didn't have it with Tua. So why would we not keep swinging at that position to see if we can't do any better? Yeah. You know, why not keep trying to build? And that's what I love about the direction that Sully's taken us in. He's going to keep investing in the position, and he's going to keep trying to improve. Just like I've been trying to tell y'all.
I know that's right.
There it is.
You know, and we had somebody in the chat, which you like you're talking about, Savak, asking how some of these other teams have been able to turn it around. That's because they have a quarterback.
Gotta get a quarterback.
You know what I mean? New England has Drake May. We knew Drake May was gonna be special. You know what I mean? Of course, you know, you can look at Sam Darnold, you know, he's won 28 games the last 2 years. So, mm-hmm. One team gave up on him, but two teams actually gave up on him. You know, but they had to justify the Minnesota thing because mm-hmm. they drafted J.J. McCarthy so early in the damn draft, which made no sense. But, you know, I mean, you're right, man. If you get that position taken care of, and I know that Sully said it too, the most important position in sports is what I say all the time. You know, you get that position taken care of with the right guy, bro, you got a great chance of being successful in this league, and that's a great point, man. And I love that they're going to invest in quarterbacks, man. And who knows, Big Seth, is Malik coming? What do you think, bro?
I don't know. I know he's going to be expensive, but it seems like they're building.
Is he going to be $40 million expensive or $25 million expensive?
Well, 25. You would be closer to 25 and 40.
I'll give him 25. We'll go fundraise.
It's a lot of money for a guy that you don't know. I don't know, but it seems like they're starting – everything they're doing is starting with Green Bay and building from Green Bay out. So time
that sounds like Penn Good State, stuff, Iowa man. State. Iowa State Nittany Lions, baby. That's, I don't care. Win, baby.
Well, good stuff, Savak. So, Chad, we got a question already here. We can
wait. Hold on. I got a quick. I try to tell y'all.
Let's do it.
It's a quick. I try to tell y'all, if you're running a charity event, make sure that waiver is airtight before you have unathletic motherfuckers out there trying to catch wiffle balls, because you didn't even know if you had a cart to take him off, and he requested the cart. And you were like, do we have a cart?
No, we didn't have a cart.
And you got a 17-year-old trainer that didn't know what the hell he was doing.
He knew
and my guy just died on the field, and he's dead. So I tried to tell y'all, a lawsuit's on the way because my best pitcher died on the wiffle ball field on the first play.
So you did try to tell us that. We did know we had a cart because I paid for two of them.
Right.
And I had TC, who was sent to us by the Dolphins. He is a certified, decorated trainer. And TC did a great job. Diagnosed it as a grade 2 hamstring
mortician strain.
But for those who are wondering what's going on, so we had Wiffle Blast, our 9th annual Wiffle Blast. It was the first year that Van Horn Law Group was represented. I'm so grateful that Chad and his crew came out and supported. Chad had the sleeves cut off, suns out, guns out.
Yeah.
They were ready. They were warming up. They've been practicing with juice. How many did you leave on in the first inning, Chad? What in the first inning, how many guys did you leave on base?
Oh, we didn't leave any on base until our pitcher got injured.
Oh, okay. So you guys were up first. We get to the bottom. Get to the bottom of the first inning, and literally the first pitch, there's a pop fly out to, I guess, on the wiffle ball. And your best player is sprinting for the ball, and the ball drops literally where he was standing as he gets shot by the sniper and falls to the ground. And after 5 attempts, just decides, I have fallen. And I can't get up.
It was real. We were all there, and he could not move. And then his pregnant wife showed up, and I said, OJ, let her know what happened.
What did OJ say, Chad?
He said, I think that's my lawyer's job.
It was an unbelievable. In 9 years of Wiffle Blast, we've never had to cart someone off the field.
No, OJ knows the story. Legitimately, in the morning, my wife drives me up to his house, and I'm with his wife and his kid.
To Tom's house, yeah.
Yeah, Tom's house, the guy that got injured. And we're having bacon, we're hanging out. They're like, hey, I want you guys to have fun. Whatever you do, don't get injured. Don't go too hard. Legitimately, the first play. And that's what I told her. I said,
hard. But he sure as shit got injured.
Hey, I asked them, I said, now, there was a lot of stretching going on. They had the whole setup at the beginning where they had somebody stretching everybody out. Did you guys partake?
And yeah.
I look back, no, we're still in their lawn chairs under their
No, tent. we're suing them. We're suing them too, Juice. Don't worry about
it.
We
got them too.
Yeah, we're suing STU. We're suing the cheerleaders. We're suing Savak. I mean, we got everybody named. Everybody's got to be in it.
We'll put everybody in so you can start letting people go. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll settle with some of them as long as they turn. But yeah, we're working on it.
Unbelievable.
I was going to offer to come down next year as an alternate.
Yeah, you definitely need to be there. So, Mike Olivia asked, did Seth get a hit out of the infield in the wiffle ball game? Not this year. It's year 9. It hasn't happened yet. I don't play in the games. Let me just say that. I am an organizer. I do not play in the games.
Hey, but I'm going to tell you this. Seth learned a lot about the game this last past year. Man.
I did get thrust into officiating.
Yeah, he learned a lot, man. He had to do a little umpiring, you know, a little scorekeeping, a little bookkeeping out there.
But Juice.
So Seth learned the game. He learned the game.
But I feel like he doesn't play because he sucks. Like, for, historically speaking,
he's got
like
one hit. He's got one career hit, man. And
but it wasn't a hit though. Like, we still need. We still want to have video.
Legendary, man.
I think it was an error.
And the best speed up runner in baseball history.
It was a legitimate hit. There's no doubt about it. Okay.
I think he's looking for witnesses
here. If I'm going to sit here and embarrass myself on a sports talk show in front of a former professional athlete who was drafted in Major League Baseball, in front of other athletic guys, and I'm going to admit that I went an entire season with one hit, I'm not lying about the one hit.
True.
Okay? Right. Like, if I was going to lie, I would have lied about the 15 hits that I had through, you know. I mean,
come on, there had to be a guy with like the thing go like to get the video of it.
I got
is that how they did it back in the day? Like, they had to be like,
I'm the old one, Chad. God. Not Chad. Seth's not as old as I am. Don't do that to him.
Too good. Yeah, Wiffle Blast. I will never play Wiffle Blast. I put on a wiffle ball tournament, I'll never play. I put on a golf tournament, I'll never play. I will play some ping pong though. I'll definitely do that.
Hey, I can tell you, hitting a wiffle ball, extremely difficult. One of my proudest moments, striking out Juice. One of my saddest moments, getting struck out by Juice.
The thrill of victory.
Literally 5 minutes apart. It's literally 5 minutes apart. Disappointed, happy. That's sports.
We haven't seen you in 2 weeks. He said the show can start now. Thank you. That's why we held out here. Well, you're just in time for the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone, Sam.
Let's do it.
Get your questions in. I did see, okay, Steve Burkett. Chad, can an employer really collect on a relocation agreement if broken by the employee?
Absolutely. So we're actually dealing with a lot of those recently where employers are getting a little greedy, if from my standpoint, where they're having a lot of employees sign agreements that they're non-competes. And there is a limit to the non-compete, so it just can't be, you can never work in this industry for the rest of your life. So it's geographical, generally speaking. But if it's reasonable within a certain geographic area and the specific context, then it is enforceable. But if you're not stealing clients, generally speaking, it's not enforceable.
All right, good question, great answer.
I love this guy.
Mike McCarthy discuss. Not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay, so I will I have a question. Speaking of like employers and not letting people out of their agreements, you know, we just saw this whole thing happen with Duke and, you know, a quarterback who does not want to play for Duke any longer, has his NIL agreement signed. You know, University of Miami is allegedly got a big offer for him down here. And I guess they ultimately settled, right? What are your thoughts about that whole, just that whole dynamic of contracts that essentially don't have to be respected? We're still, I think that young people seem to be getting the benefit of the doubt because they're young people. But man, where does it stop? Where is it fair? And where is it just ridiculous?
Well, think about the origin of this. So first off, it was, and this is very good lawyering or bad lawyering, depending on how you want to phrase it. But name, image, and likeness was supposed to be the issue. Like, they can make money off their name, image, and likeness.
Yep.
Not pay to play, right? NIL means name, image, and likeness. Now we're seeing pay to play. Like, you and who was the coach recently came out? Clemson coach, right? Where he called out that, and he called out that my players are being texted while they're in school by the coach, and they're saying, we're going to offer you $1 million if you enter the portal to get out, and we'll pay you.
Yeah.
That is not NIL.
No.
That is pay to play, right?
That's bullshit.
That's that bullshit, exactly. And unfortunately, I'll defer to Juice on this, but I think it is a slippery slope where it can ruin the sport because people are just going to bounce around every year, and you can't just follow a team. You're going to be following players, which I think some of the allure of college is you can watch the player like within the same system for years and cheer for that player because unlike basketball, they had to play in college for 3 years before they can leave. And now they're just bouncing around wherever. But anyway, going back, yes. But going back to the Duke situation, they legitimately sued him for breach of contract.
Right.
And like that, this to me is a landmark case where they're going to have people, and you have to be 18 to sign these agreements, first off, or you have to have a parent or guardian sign off on these. Like, this is going to create a complete mess moving forward unless they regulate this somehow. So I'm glad they reached an agreement. I hope he does great in Miami, but I think it's a complete mess for college football, and I hope they figure out sooner or later because college football is incredible. And yeah, Juice, I want your feeling on that too.
Yeah, you know, I think, first of all, let's go back to Dabo Sweeney. He's full of shit when he's saying his players are getting text messages in class. They're probably in their apartment playing Madden when they're getting text messages.
It's an online class, Juice.
Right, online classes, right, like they're still in COVID. I get it, you know what I mean? But also, though, I think it really has to happen, Chad. And, you know, you look at that quarterback, I think it really boils down to what NFL contracts are like now. The NFL contracts, somebody finds signs a five-year deal, it's really five 1 year deals, you know, and I think that's how they need to handle that business moving forward, you know, when it comes to NIL. And I think it helps the colleges out too. So if you sign somebody to $1.5 million NIL deal, and then they've got three of those, you know, for two more years, and if those guys don't pan out, yeah, hell, you know, they can honestly, both of them should be able to break that deal and go somewhere else if that's the case, you know. So I think that, you know, when it comes to this NIL stuff, you know, I was like very fortunate to go, you know, to the national championship game. I went with my buddy Kajana Carter, you know, who got inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, you know, and dude, if he was in college, we'd have had a hard time keeping him at Penn State for all those years. We'd have been there, you know, some of the schools that would have been coming at him with all this money that, you know, hell, I might even play for Pitt after my, you know, junior year. You know what I mean? You know. If they would offer me the right money, man, I told you all the time, Seth, if Guam offered me a contract to play NFL football for twice the money I made for the Dolphins, I'd have played in Guam. You wouldn't even know me right now. You know what I mean?
What would the name of that team be in Guam?
Yeah, the Guam Guamers.
Guam Guamers.
Oranges.
Somebody beyond that AI, and I want a nice picture of OJ McDuffie in his 81 Guam Guamers jersey. All right, we got time. Somebody drop in one more question here for Chad Van Horn. By the way, I'm looking at Seth Wickersham tweeted something, a passage from his book talking about Spygate. Roger Goodell, when in the days before the call with Belichick, Goodell set himself the impossible task. He tried to educate himself on the advantage the Patriots had accrued in the 7 years they had been taping their opponents. He called around the league, including Mike Shanahan. What's going on here? Mike Shanahan says to Roger Goodell, I wish I had thought to videotape signals. I'm disappointed in myself. And so the whole idea, he said, look, first of all, people are always trying to steal signs. Peyton Manning is the best. If you don't change your signals, you're dead. And so it doesn't mean that Bill Belichick is a bad guy. He's just better at it than most are.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Johnson, a lot of guys said that. A lot of coaches said they tried it, but it didn't work for them. You and I had a conversation today, Seth, about, you know, especially if you get our defensive signs, it helps you tremendously, you know, to be in the right play at the right time.
Yeah.
You get our offensive signs. Like, we didn't have offensive signs. Like, that's – look, Bill Belichick, remember the reason he went to the helmet with the green dot.
Yeah,
they're the reason the green dot came around, so they stopped doing the signs and signals. So I get it, man. And I remember playing against New England, and hell, we checked to a play. Keith Byers is on the Patriots now, and they're like, we checked to some, and the whole defense like, watch the slant, watch the slant. I look at Danny and say, shit, I ain't running a slant, you know, because they had our signs and our signals, man. It's a tremendous advantage, you know, and like I said, if you. Some people say if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Well, there's still a bit of, you know, there's a bit of integrity that comes in the game as well. And the famous words of my man Zazu on The Lion King.
Love Zazu.
Never prosper.
There it is. There it is. Spoken like a Guam-Guamer, that's for sure. Well, look, fellas, we're going to have to wrap this thing up looking at the time. Do we have – I'm trying to see. Did I miss a question?
Wait, real quick. Legally speaking, like, I would never want to defend the comment that Bill Belichick is not a good person. Well, and I'll just leave that there.
Right. You don't have to.
He could be a great coach, but I'm just saying. Like, he coached the best defensive player in the history of the NFL and the best offensive player in the NFL, which is incredible. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's a good guy.
Sound like he's lucky to me. Sound like he's lucky as hell to me.
Hey.
It doesn't mean
timing is everything. Timing is everything. If I would have coached OJ McDuffie in high school, I would have been a fantastic high school coach.
Well, you know, we had 8,000 yards and 3 seasons and 81 touchdowns.
We know the exact numbers. And you would have had 10,000 yards with me as the coach.
There you go. Dan Horn's offensive system. That is for sure. No doubt about Zazu knowledge is on point. It definitely is, Sam. So, all right, we're going to get out of here in just a second. By the way, you know, that was the Van Horn Law Group Legal Hour. Our other co-presenting partner, Casabel Design Group. So Alvaro has his podcast, right? The Renovation Revolution. And the current episode of The Renovation Revolution is entitled Tanking for Tua and Benching Your Contractor When Renovations Go into Rebuild Mode. So he makes the parallel between getting ready to make dream house, your true dream house with a renovation, and you do all the planning and then everything goes to shit. And then, you know, you got to bench your quarterback and you got to fire your contractor. And pretty good stuff from Alvaro there. So go ahead and check out the Renovation Revolution.
Is that a $90 million rebuild? Is that what we're looking at?
Right.
Right.
Maybe at the Van Horn household. Right. Now that's one hell of a crib that you're building over there. That's for sure. Great stuff. Great job, everybody, man. And good stuff by Armando. If you missed it, go back and watch it on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And we'll be back here next week.
No doubt. Hey, everybody. Thanks for diving in.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Woo. Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.